This is Lasair Bradley, Jr., welcoming you to another broadcast of the Baptist Bible Hour. We'll be continuing the message today, Great is Thy Faithfulness. This is from the text in Lamentations chapter 3, verses 22 to 24, which says, Thou changest not, thy compassions they fail not, as thou hast been, thou forevermore will be. It's reassuring to know that the sovereign God that we trust is indeed faithful. I would encourage you to go to our website at baptistbiblehour.org. There you will find a variety of messages that you can hear and articles that you can read. Hopefully will be helpful to you in these difficult days.
Is good.
The third thing we consider, faithfulness is displayed in creation. We turn to the book of Genesis. Read that after Noah came out of the ark, God made a covenant. God was mindful of the needs of his people. He says in Genesis chapter 8 in the 22nd verse, "While the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest and cold and heat and summer and winter and day and night shall not cease." The very fact that we see the changing of the seasons, we see the passage from night to day, day to night, all of this is on course because God ordered it. And God says, as long as the earth remains, it's going to be this way. No matter what some might predict about global warming, that it might reach the place that you wouldn't be able to tell one season from the other, God says it's going to remain as I set it in motion. God's in charge of it. And then look at chapter 9, verse 13. "I do set my bow in the cloud, and it shall be for a token of a covenant between me and the earth." God put his bow in the sky. When I read that, I can't help but think about my childhood, that any time there was a rainbow, my mother got so excited, and she would come call all the children, "Come, come, look, it's a beautiful rainbow." And what does that make you think about? Yeah, we think about the fact that God put it in the sky and made a promise to Noah. It's a beautiful thing, isn't it? Just look at it as it looks like it extends from one side of the earth to the other. All the splendor of those colors. And I'm sure that some would give explanation as to how this all comes about. But here's the biblical explanation. God put the rainbow in the sky. "And it shall come to pass when I bring a cloud over the earth, and the bow shall be seen in the cloud, and I will remember my covenant, which is between me and you and every living creature of all flesh, and the water shall no more become a flood to destroy all flesh." You might see the rain falling, flood waters rising, but you can be absolutely assured of the fact they will never again cover the earth as they did in Noah's time. God said they will not, and I put my bow in the sky as a reminder of that. "And the bow shall be in the cloud, and I will look upon it, that I may remember the everlasting covenant between God and every living creature of all flesh that is upon the earth." And God said unto Noah, "This is the token of the covenant which I have established between me and all flesh that is upon the earth." Noah then could look up in the sky and see that beautiful rainbow. But he's thinking about the fact that God in heaven is looking down, and he sees it too. And when God has placed it there and God views it, it's a reminder to him that he made a covenant, and he's a covenant-keeping God. And you know, the blood of Jesus Christ is the token of the everlasting covenant of grace. Just like that bow was the token of the covenant God made with Noah. Hebrews chapter 13 talks about the covenant and the blood by which it is sealed. We look by faith upon the blood of Jesus Christ, and we say, here is the evidence that God is a covenant-keeping God. God looks upon it. And on the basis of that perfect sacrifice of the Son of God, we have the basis and hope of our salvation. And then reference is made once again to a covenant in Jeremiah chapter 33. Reading the 20th verse. "Thus saith the Lord, if you can break my covenant of the day and my covenant of the night." Now we read about that. In Genesis chapter 8, that God made a covenant that as long as the earth remains, it's going to be day and night. "If you can break that covenant, my covenant of the night, and that there should not be day and night in their season, then may also my covenant be broken with David, my servant, that he should not have a son to reign upon his throne, and with the Levites and priests, my ministers. God made a covenant with David that he would raise up one to occupy his throne. There'd never be want of a man to occupy it. And when Peter's preaching on the day of Pentecost, he quotes that and points to the fact that Jesus Christ is the fulfillment of that covenant God made. That God raised him up, and he now sits on the throne and reigns according to the purpose of God, the promise of God, the covenant that God made with David so long ago. Faithfulness displayed in his creation. So that as we go through life, rather than being so consumed with the stresses that we all encounter, maybe so frustrated with the traffic on the interstate, that you fail to look around you and see the marvels of the handiwork of God. We read the text where it says, he hath made his mighty works to be remembered. Not only the mighty works that he wrought among his people in olden times, from which we take courage and our faith is increased when we see the wonders of the display of his power, but that which is seen in creation itself. And just recalling that God is the one that controls the movement of time, and the fact that we continue to have day and night and summer and winter, all is just a reminder, my God, the one in whom my trust rests, is the one who made it all, and he's still in charge of it all. Well, if God's still running all this, don't you think he can take care of whatever the difficulty is in our own life personally? We sometimes lose sight of it. Just to recall he is faithful. What a blessing. Great is thy faithfulness. And then the hymn says, pardon for sin and peace that endureth, thine own dear presence to cheer and to guide, strength for today and bright hope for tomorrow, blessings all mine with 10,000 beside. The fourth thing we consider, faithfulness is enjoyed through his mercies. Think of the blessing, the pardon for sin. Sin is something that you can't blot out. You can shed tears. You can grieve over it. You can be angry with yourself. How could I have said such a thing? How could I have done such a thing? How could I have again yielded to temptation? But on and on you may go, and you haven't gotten rid of the sin. You can't overcome it by noble efforts and good works. Sin is a terrible blot. But he pardons sin. Micah chapter 7, verse 18. Who is a God like unto thee that pardoneth iniquity and passeth by the transgression of the remnant of his heritage? He retaineth not his anger forever because he delighteth in mercy. You don't have to persuade God to be merciful. You don't have to try to bargain with God as though you're going to have to pay for it and present something that will obligate him. No, that wouldn't be mercy after all. He delights to be merciful. So you come to him with an acknowledgement, I have failed. I have come short. I have sinned. I need help, Lord. I cringe when I think about my sin. When I think about my many failures over the span of my life. I have nothing in which I can boast, nothing that I can offer to you. But I read in your word, you delight in mercy, and that's what I need. That's what I need, is mercy. And he delights to give it. That's encouraging. That's good news. That should help us in some of the deepest struggles that we may encounter. And the hymn writer not only speaks of pardon for sin,
but peace that endureth. Peace is a wonderful, marvelous blessing. When your soul is troubled, doesn't matter how many material things you may have, it doesn't matter whatever the comforts of life that would normally give you pleasure and satisfaction, nothing is right when you're troubled within. You just don't have peace. Maybe sometimes you can't even understand what's troubling you. I wish I could identify it. I wish I could figure it all out and be able to deal with it effectively. But there's a way in which God's children can have peace. Isaiah chapter 26 and the third verse. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusteth in thee. Peace comes by keeping your mind on the Lord and on his promises. What so often happens, we read a promise like that. Say, I believe that. I know that's right. And Lord, I'm going to keep my mind on you. I'm going to think about your promises. I'm going to think about your grace. I'm going to think about what you've done for me in the past. I have every reason to believe that since you've blessed me so abundantly through the years, you'll bless me again. And then you finish that prayer and you go right back to thinking about your problem. No wonder you don't have peace, because your mind's not stayed on him. It's stayed on your problem. You analyze it, you think about it. You work it over and over, and you think about a solution. You think about what you should have done that you didn't do, and what you might do, and all of this robs you of your peace. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. The next thing the hymn refers to is strength for today. And that follows the next verse here, verse 4 of Isaiah 26. Trust ye in the Lord forever, for the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. So where are we going to get our strength? Physical strength, spiritual strength, mental strength, strength to keep going when we feel like we can't, strength to keep going when we feel like giving up. Trust ye in the Lord. The Lord Jehovah, the sovereign God of heaven and earth, the Creator. In him is everlasting strength. To think that we have the source of strength that we so desperately need, and yet we're often forgetful. We're reviewing our own weakness. We're talking about how difficult the way is, how we feel incapable of making it. And it's good that we recognize our own weakness, but we mustn't stay there. We must then turn to our God, knowing that he is the source of the strength that we need. Deuteronomy chapter 33 and the 25th verse. Thy shoes shall be as iron and brass, and as thy days, so shall thy strength be. As thy days. No matter how many days or how few the days are, no matter how difficult the days are, as thy days, no matter what kind of a day it is, as thy days, so shall thy strength be. Now, Proverbs chapter 27 in the first verse says, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. None of us know what we may face tomorrow. Bad news can come instantly. Unexpected trouble can arise. Jeremiah said, suddenly are my tents spoiled. Or it might be, on the other hand, a day when good news is brought and happy events occur. But the fact is, we can't boast ourselves of tomorrow. We don't know what it's going to bring forth. We don't know for sure that we will be here. But whatever the day is, whatever it brings forth, whatever we encounter, whatever we have to face, to remember this, that he is with his people. He has promised not to forsake them, and that we can say, as thy days, so shall thy strength be, then we have exactly what we need. And then the hymn writer says, hope for tomorrow. Hope. It's certainly a dark time when hope fades, when a person becomes so disheartened and discouraged, say, I don't see that it can ever get any better. My life is so entangled. The burden is so heavy. I've lost hope. That's where Jeremiah was. He was a prophet of God, but he said, my hope is perished from the Lord. Hit rock bottom. But he said, this I recall to mind. Some things I'd forgotten. It's of thy mercies that were not consumed. They're new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. And he regained his hope. Romans chapter 15 of the 13th verse says, now the God of hope. I love that expression. The God of hope. I've read some materials over the years by psychologists and psychiatrists, and some of them claiming that they were Christian. And it's always stunned me when somebody then would say, here is a certain type of individual that will never change. Somebody sent me a document like that recently. And indeed, the characteristics described in it, the attitudes that were prevalent, the way the individual would view himself, I had to concede. It's a tough case. I've counseled people that fit the description of what that man was writing about. But his conclusion was, they never change. That's a sad conclusion. If you believe in the God of hope, you believe all things are possible. There's no case too hard. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing that ye may abound in hope. If you believe in the God of hope, you don't have to talk about having a little hope, just hanging in there, hoping you'll survive. No, he says, I want you to abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. You can abound in hope because of the faithfulness of God. Great is thy faithfulness. May we forever rejoice in that truth.
Glad that you were with us for the broadcast today, and hope that this message entitled Great is Thy Faithfulness has been a source of encouragement to you. If you would like to get the complete message on CD, request that when writing us. Our address is the Baptist Bible Hour, Box 17037, Cincinnati, Ohio 45217. Now, until we greet you again next time, this is LeSere Bradley, Jr., saying may God richly bless you.
Bless. blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine, heir of salvation, purchase of God, born of His Spirit, washed in His blood. Perfect submission, perfect delight, visions of rapture now burst on my sight. Angels descending, ring from above, echoes of mercy, whispers of love. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect salvation, all is at rest. I in my Savior am happy and blessed, watching and waiting, looking above, filled with His good.